know, this Advent season, we've been looking at lots of different traditions as we looked at the characters of the Nativity. We looked at Mary, we looked at Joseph, John the Baptist, and we looked at the shepherds today, right? And we've considered how things that they're part of the story revealed, we carry through the Christian tradition. And some traditions focus heavily on one of those things or another thing. It has shaped the church over the centuries. Well, tonight we come to Jesus. And of course, by definition, Jesus better shape the church. If we have a church that's shaped by something other than who Christ is, if that's not central or all in all, the bedrock of our foundation, that confession when Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Yes, but who do you say that I am?" That gives definition to the whole Christian experience. And so tonight we want to consider that foundation of all of our traditions. The one who is fully God and fully man, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this revelation of the birth of the Christ child. Thank you for the hope, the eternal life, the righteousness, the rejoicing, the peace, the forgiveness that we can have in this life, the purpose, the meaning, the fulfillment that we experience because of what Christ has come to do. And so, Lord, we give you thanks. If you look into your word, would you shape us and mold us into the people that you call us to be? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. They not only saw these angels appear to them and heard them, they went and they saw the Christ child. It was just as they had been told, and this was God with us. Carly, the next slide, please. Joseph falls asleep. He's thinking about getting rid of his girlfriend who ended up pregnant. This wasn't from him, so I'm just going to get rid of her. But he falls asleep, and an angel appears in his dream and says, "Don't be afraid." And so when he wakes up, he does as the Lord commands. And then, of course, I think we have. We're good. It's good because I like to drive the car.
You're almost in the ditch.
Oh, I've been in the ditch. I lived in the ditch. Yeah, amen. We have. When Joseph wakes up from a sleep, from a dream, he did as the Lord commanded him. Now, whatever happened there was so powerful that this man who was ready to bail out and run away from the circumstance, he had such an experience that he just simply obeyed. And then, of course, the most shocking one would have been what? Mary. What? As a virgin, I'm going to carry this child? I'm going to give birth to my Lord? I'm going to be the mother of one who is God? So, you know, as we question cross looks like. The characters of the Nativity, as amazing as they were, right? It's when we put ourselves in their situations, actually, that we experience the true impact of Christmas. Because guess what? The impact on us is huge. We are not called to give birth as virgins, but we're called to do things that are absolutely impossible. How about this? Once you were dead, but now you're alive. Once you walked in sin, and now you are the righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. Once you were dead in your transgressions, you had no interest in God. You were not looking for Him. You didn't want anything to do with Him. And now you've been made alive in Christ. Isn't that as impossible to wrap our brains around as a virgin who is with a child? Or a dream where an angel appears to us? Or a group of angels that appear to us on the night shift and send us to the small village nearby to see the Christ child, the Messiah? We don't know how to do what we are called to do any better than they knew how to do what they were called to do. What does this Emmanuel, God with us, look like? The God who revealed His promised Messiah would also offer a clearer picture of how it would look and what it all meant. And He gave us that picture in John chapter 1 that Sean graciously read for us this evening. The very beginning of John's gospel sounds a lot like, in some ways, the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. Clear parallel there. And we heard these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning, He was in the beginning with God." So, of course, there's that fancy theological stuff that pastors have to do. You know, in English, it really doesn't even make sense. The Word, what does that mean? And those of us who've been raised in the church, we know it. We know what it's supposed to be, so we just go with it. But if you weren't raised reading this and understanding this, it actually helps to go back to the original Greek word for the Word, which means... which is translated the Word, and it's the Logos, which could also be translated the logic, right? It's a thought, a rational thought, a logical thought that is manifest and is spoken, is the Word, it is the logic of God. And so, literally, the Apostle John tells us, in the beginning was the logic. And the logic was with God, and the logic was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is what God with us looks like. It looks like logic. It looks like light in the darkness. It looks like creation, the power to create out of nothing. So what does God with us look like? Emmanuel looks like God, and God looks like Him. Because it is Him. some of us are like really strong in faith and we just believe stuff. And then other people are like, I don't know about that. Show me God. I'm not going to believe until I have proof. Okay. You've been given proof. His name is Jesus. You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. Go ahead, read through the Gospels. Read, study, meditate on Him. If you struggle with the Bible and Christianity and religion and a bunch of hypocrites at that church and blah, 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 all that stuff, right? Just read the Gospels. If you come away from the Gospels and you really don't like Jesus, then I can say confidently, this is not the religion for you. But don't judge Christianity on something that someone said to you that isn't themselves Jesus. Because I'm not perfect. By definition, I mess up. And if I chase you away from your faith or your church or grace in God because of me, that's a tragedy and it shouldn't happen. But then again, if you're looking to me to be God, then that's called idolatry anyway, right? You want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus. What is it in Jesus that anyone doesn't like? Well, I mean, there is that thing that says, you've heard it said, but I tell you, right? Love your friends, but hate your enemies, I tell you. Love your enemies and pray for them. All right, I'm not wild about that. What's that? I got to go an extra mile? I got to turn the other cheek? I mean, after all, it is Jesus who dies for the atoning, to be the atonement for sin for all of humanity. There's something about that. That's a pretty powerful thought. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The light in the darkness. Darkness seems sometimes unaffected by the light, but it did not overcome the light. And even those that he came to reveal himself to, he came to his own people and they rejected him. So how do we experience this God with us? We experience it by receiving him. We experience Emmanuel, God with us, by simply receiving him. There is nothing that we can do to earn or deserve the presence of God in our life. It is a free gift, and all gifts are simply received. Now, some families have different traditions about gift giving, and some kids demand what gifts their parents are supposed to buy them. We got a lot of distortions around gifts. But a true gift is just something that is given to us, and we simply receive it, and it becomes ours. We do have to participate in it. By definition, our hands are open to receive the gift. We bring it in and say, yes, this is mine. I mean, you've perhaps seen families or heard stories of someone who got a gift, and there's the person who always returns every gift. This is not a time to point at your sister or your mother right now. There's some people that just constantly return the gifts that you buy. Right? That's not really a gift then. They're not doing it. They're not receiving the love that comes in the gift. Now, obviously, if you buy me an extra small t-shirt, I'm probably going to say, you know, that's not something I'm going to be able to use. So I either need to replace that or give it, re-gift it. But there's just the receiving of that gift. How do we experience God with us? We acknowledge Him. We receive Him. Have you received Him? Every year, for over 2,000 years, Christians gather to celebrate Christmas around the globe, different periods of history, different cultures, different languages. They celebrate the coming of the Christ child. And the basic meaning of Christmas hasn't changed for over 2,000 years. The question is, if God was giving us a gift in Christ Jesus, have we received Him? John 1 continues, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Now that's fascinating. Because I might have an Amazon truck pull up outside my home and I receive a gift from Jeff Bezos. But I do not become an heir of Jeff Bezos when I receive that gift. But God's grace and His mercy in Christ, through Christ to us, is that when we receive Him and we believe in His name, that is, we believe what the Bible says about Him and who He was and why He came, He gave the right to become children of God. Who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of a man. That's how children come to be, isn't it? But in this case, born of God. Receiving Jesus as the Messiah, God with us, brings us new life. When we receive Him, we become one of His. We are born to God. And then, of course, the culmination of this. Verse 14, and the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. Doesn't that sound like God with us? Doesn't that sound like Emmanuel? He isn't just the logic. He is the logic of God, the Word of God. He isn't just the Creator, that everything that's been created was created by Him and through Him, and there's nothing that has been created that wasn't done by Him. He's not just the Creator. But He became flesh and dwelt amongst us and literally pitched His tent in our midst. He tabernacled Himself. He became, and He came to live in our midst with us. And it's in that we have seen His glory. The glory as the only Son from the Father. And of course you say, I don't know that I've seen the glory of Christ. I don't know that I really have. Well, it's in the gospel. It's in the Bible. It's, when was the last time you read it? You know, to read the Gospel of Mark, it's 16 chapters. I'm going to say just about any human being with a fifth grade reading level can read the Gospel of Mark in under 2 hours. So before you make a judgment that says, that's not for me, go read the Gospel of Mark and ask yourself if there's not something unique and special about this person, Jesus Christ. Or the Gospel of John. Or the Gospel of Matthew. Because he's full of grace and truth. That's the announcement at the beginning of John's gospel. That he is full of grace and truth. Now here's the thing. We live in a world that is so desperately broken and wicked and messed up and twisted and dysfunctional. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. We stick, you know, these things in the hands of our children. We say, you know, go entertain yourself. What could go wrong giving your kids electronics to entertain themselves? That was facetious. We're all messed up. And sometimes our messed upness is things that I've done myself. And I just need God's grace. I just need God's mercy. I just need to cry uncle and receive a little love and mercy and forgiveness. Have you ever been there? And then sometimes in this world, we just need to be, need to hear the truth. Because there's so many crazy things going around. There's so many lies that are being told. We just need to hear the truth. And we know that what we're being told from a culture and from the world is twisted and it's a lie. God has come to us. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about anything else except for the truth that God has come to us. What will you do about that? What will you do about it? Will you receive him? Jesus the Messiah is God's gift to you. To meet you. Give you, to give you a new identity with Christ and his people, to give you a purpose that is bigger than anything a human being can otherwise accomplish on their own. Will you receive? Gracious God, thank you for the gift that is Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one of Israel. The one sent by God to be the prophet, priest, and king for his people. The one sent by God who is God. The one sent by God to be the atoning sacrifice. That when he would hang on the cross and shed his blood, his perfect blood shed by evil, wicked men, would atone for the sins of humanity. You have sent your Son, Jesus Christ. And then you allowed your Son, you sent your Son to die on our behalf. Lord, for those who are hearing this message for the first time and have never received you, I pray that you, your Holy Spirit, would speak to their mind and to their heart, to the seat of their emotions. Lord, would you invite them to receive you? Would you challenge them, prompt them, urge them, cajole them? Would you remind them, show them, teach them how important it is to see this life through the eyes of the God who created it, to find our purpose through unity with Christ and his people. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks for our Messiah.